Blog Talk Radio.
How's your mama? How you been? Girl, it's been too long. Saw your sister at the Circle K. Her baby number two was on the way. Hadn't seen her since her wedding day with you on my arm. It's good to hear from you again. Girl, what a coincidence. I was just thinking about that weekend out on Cumberland Lake. And that one time in Baton Rouge when we out in the rain, where we went chasing falling stars on a hill, let your daddy's farm. Don't be sorry for calling me up right out of the blue. I was just thinking about you.
Hey, I just gotta say, I heard your song the other day. I started reminiscing. I've been on the edge of calling you, and I'm so glad I decided to.
I was just thinking about that weekend out on Cumberland Lake, and that was Diamondback Blues when we made out in the rain, where we went chasing falling stars on a hill at your daddy's farm. Don't be sorry for calling me.
Tonight's show is brought to you by a group on All Poetry called Late Night Poets, and we have anthologies available on Amazon.com filled with poetry from around the world, so feel free to check those out as they help support these shows. And that said, tonight's show is based on a contest, and it's a quote from Albert Tennyson. It goes, "If I had a flower for every time I thought of you, I could walk through my garden forever," by Albert Tennyson, and some open poetry as well. So I'm going to check the studio real quick here and see if we have any callers. And it's just me, so I'm going to grab the first poem, and I will place that on the board here. Okay, here we go. And this is by S. Sharp. It's called Krakatoa, and it has a SoundCloud, so I will play that. Here we go.
Krakatoa, 1883. The calm August morning swelled with the sea breezes of the South Pacific near Sumatra and Java, through the Sunda Strait, another beautiful day along the Indonesian coast. Crack, like a cannon, explosions, cacophony rock the airwaves. Reverberations of doom shook around the earth. Eruption at Krakatoa blasted like cannon fire. 7 times in total, the sound encircled the earth. A pyroclastic surge, hot gases and stone, pushed the speed of sound leveling, setting fire to earth and sea. Burning embers blazed across Kedembang, incinerating 1,000 souls. A nearby Sabizi, no survivors, 3,000 skeletons found. A tsunami rose and raged towards the island at 135 feet, 600 miles an hour, spreading in all directions, wiping out 300 seaside villages. In Southeast Asia, delivering a gunboat 30 feet above sea level, more than a mile inland, killing the entire crew. Tidal waves threatened as far as the English Channel, causing most of the 36,000 deaths. On Borneo, hundreds of miles away, islanders feared a spirit had arisen, angry, seeking revenge. Panicked natives escaped to nearby cliffs, jumping to their deaths. A ship sailing 15 miles from Krakatoa fell under 15 feet of volcanic ash, buried at sea. Ash fell on ships 1,600 miles away, over 300,000 miles square, boiling lava mixed with cool air, creating pumice floating all throughout the seas. Steam and black ash spewed, rose, swirling into the skies, rock and ash to 36,000 feet, 7 miles into the air. Pyroclastic winds swept outward as Krakatoa folded in upon itself, all but disappearing. Volcanic ash and dust rose into the atmosphere, carried all around the earth, affecting the weather, umbrella of dust blocking the sun, creating amazing sunsets, shadows of blue in South America, luminous green in Panama, blood red in the United States. People thought the world was on fire at Poughkeepsie and New Haven. After the eruption, rising temperatures and amazing devastation remained, while only a small piece of the island survived, covered in dust. Years later, a peak began to grow from the darkened waters as Krakatoa murmured beneath the sea, near the original island, and a new island appeared, now called Anak Krakatoa. Child of Krakatoa.
Wow, what a beautiful read on such a powerful poem about this historical eruption of a volcano and all of its devastation that followed. You know, you can feel the emotion in his voice as he reads about the on Borneo, hundreds of miles away, islanders feared a spirit had risen, angry, seeking revenge. Panicked, native escaped to nearby cliffs, jumping to their deaths. I mean, you know, when the world seems to be coming to an end, you want to end yours before it can end you. And I guess that's what happened in that case. Just a tragic and haunting recollection of a massive event on Earth and all of the devastation that followed. So just a beautiful read and write, Sharp. Excellent job. And I'd like to welcome Pam to the show. Hello, Pam.
Hey, Gray. How's it going?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, life is good. I went for a walk today, got out of the house, you know, a nice temperature in the air, you know, so. And how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. And it was a beautiful day here. Beautiful day. Did you get a chance to hear Sharp's poem?
You know, this is one I've actually read before, and I was very impressed with this one. I like how he delves into history and really dramatic reading that he does. And I like how this goes into the history of the creation of an island. And there's something very primal about his choice of phrasing. So beautifully written and very well done.
Beautiful comment. Thank you, Pam. I'm going to check the studio here. And we have Louie Wildove. Hello and welcome, Louie Wildove.
Hi, Greg. Hi, Pam.
Hi. Hi. How's it going?
All that green, green you're outside is really agitating my allergies.
I completely understand that. That sucks. Mm-hmm.
Did you get a chance to hear Sharp's poem?
No, but I did. I have read some of it. You know, what I like about this poem is that he uses imagery that is so powerful that you can feel the effects of what it's doing to the earth, to the sea, to humans. You know, he talks about proto-plastic urge of hot gases and stone push the speed of sound, leaving fire earth, you know, that explosion that it makes. You know, it just like, you know, he says it was a calm. He starts off with this, the calm August morning swelled with the sea breezes of the South Pacific near Sumatra and Java through the Sunday Strait. And he was just talking about how beautiful the coast was at this time. And then it says, just like a cannon, the air rocks and the reverberation of doom shook the earth. His visual of, you know, taking it step by step. And then, of course, you know, that pyroplastic surge that they talk about, the gas stones that, you know, it can just suffocate and just burn and incinerate, like he says, and incinerated thousands of souls with no survivors. And then, of course, during earthquakes and stuff like that, then the tsunami roses, which we know in the sea when there's earthquakes, it builds up and then it hit, like he says here, it hit at 135 feet, this wall of water was moving at 600 miles an hour, spreading in all directions. And, of course, the tsunami goes and hits the same spot it's affecting, but it also goes out and hits other spots that are near it. And so I really loved, you know, the boiling lava mixed with cooled air creating pumice floating through the seas. And he just goes on, volcanic ash rose to temperature. And you could just literally, it was like watching an action movie of nature happening right before your eyes. And I can't imagine the horror these people experienced.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Lee. Beautiful comment. Okay, Pam, I've got the next write-up, if you don't mind, please.
All right. Playa del Amor, Playa del Divorcio by Diana Thornton. And it goes like this. You startle me. I was just looking at you, admiring your beauty, you say. The ragged vocals of this afternoon have been silenced in the pit of razor-sharp red hibiscus flowers, part lollipop, part Picasso, purple and voluptuous, pale in a store, deft lines, powdery petals, bathing in the dim stars of Capricornus, wearing the collar of planetary orbs as crescents, bound by a chain of secret similes, onward and upward. There were other tropical flowers outside. Their Leon colors are a sickness unto death, like marriage. But you say this mood will pass. But you say we could just move to Cabo San Lucas tomorrow. But you say our permission to leave the country papers are ready. A frozen stem won't become a magnolia-like flower of humid forest in a freshwater stream of malachite. Lavender doesn't fade to white. Still, I Google Cabo San Lucas picture as again. It almost makes me laugh how they have La Playa del Amor y La Playa del Divorcio, because I used to say any one of those words every morning, and I am too dead inside to even think of the words you hate. It is a gloomy lycolith. Yes, we could grow Latin souls, pour ourselves like rain upon the earth for the leaping sea goat. End poem.
That was a fabulous read, Pam. And, you know, it was a painful poem. You know, it's about seeking divorce at the end of their relationship. And their catch-all is to go to Cabo San Lucas and escape their life. And I thought it was quite a tragic poem. Beautifully written, but tragic as well. What did you think, Lee?
I think that Pam did a fantastic job in reading this poem by Diana Thornton. You know, this is very deep. You know, I was reading one of her oh my goodness, you're going to have to, I'm so sorry for coughing. Where she says it's in Spanish, amor equals love, divorcio equals divorce. Yes, I still live by the sea, although I want to leave Australia. One of my husband's jobs is over there. I could relate to the characters. You know, and it's very deep, you know, her personal life. I love her imagery. It's powerful. And also what can happen in a marriage, you know, moving so much can pull people apart. You know, not everybody can do that. I've seen a lot of divorces, you know, with these jobs that they travel with military and stuff like that. And not all families, whether male or female, the husbands can deal with that constant moving. And also, sometimes after you're married to somebody, sometimes you find out you're not like them at all. And, you know, which causes a separation because one may be more loving than the other. It says that she used to laugh. Now she feels dead inside, you know. And then, you know, to me it was like, well, maybe if we move somewhere else, maybe hopefully it'll be better. You know, but then she says, pour ourselves like rain upon the earth for the leaping seagull, you know. So I don't know. Very fascinating poem.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lee. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, this is absolutely, absolutely beautiful. And as you both have mentioned, very sad. It's a very poignant poem. I love her use of imagery of the bringing in the flowers and the stars. And, you know, I think what's particularly sad to me is this whole idea of how relatable it is, and the idea of coming to an end of a relationship, the end of a marriage, and realizing that it's time for the divorce. And, you know, that idea that maybe, as Lou was mentioning, we can save it if we move somewhere else. But the thing is once you've gotten to the point where you're that dead inside, no amount of change of scenery is going to save anything. So it's just a powerful write and very well done.
Well said. Thank you, Pam. Okay, Lou, I have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please. Hello, Lou.
Sorry, I was coughing. I don't know if I can read this, but I'll try.
Okay.
Lord's Voice Through Life's Soul's Faith by Brumdaban Panda. Lord lives in law, letter, love, life, language, literature. Lord's Voice Through Soul's Faith, poet put in paper. Lord is maker of word, maker of law, maker of world. Lord's representative is poet called a second God. Living Quotation, a Maya Angelou Through Contest, Lighting the Mind of Poet to Find Out Clear Concepts. Letter or single letter may make meaningful word. Letter mixed without meaning, not at all required. Lady, lad, lead, loud, life, law, liberty are L-based words. Leah, Liwa, leaf, load, lay, id, itty, through L, base, not words. Living words like liquid particles lives at literary ocean. Lord is master of poets and master of poetic contribution. Lord's representative is poet in status of second lord. Literary language flows from heart to mind as required. Letters are words he puts on the paper through pen. Love, peace, nature, politics, society gets poetic position. Lord's voice through life, soul, face, duly with poem. Literary language with deeper meaning, the poet's aim. Literary language through poem means for life lesson. Lighted liberty, path Lord like poet shows. Sing quia nun. Lastly, poet salute under lotus feet of Lord Almighty. Lord guides me to write. Sanskrit, Odia, English poetry, and poem.
Thank you, Leah. That was a wonderful read. And a fascinating poem, you know, about the influence of God in the poet's life and the power that exists therein, you know, basically enabling that poet to become an under-God and having written voices, I mean, has written through what his heart spoke to his mind, a.k.a. God speaking to him. So, yeah, I thought it was a fascinating write. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, I have to agree. Wonderful read there, Lou. I do appreciate and respect how Bhrundipan Panda often speaks of spirituality within his writes. He also does seem to have a lot of fun with alliteration. And I like that he acknowledges that his gift for writing and his enjoyment of writing, it seems like, comes from a higher power. So I really like Lord's representative is poet in status of second Lord. Literary language flows from heart to mind as required. A wonderful couplet there on that communication between the heart and the mind and how they're both used to create poetry, and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. Okay, I'm posting the next one. This is by Daniel DeShino, and I will read this for him. It's called Insanity. I can't speak for everyone else. I wish I could. I can only speak for me, and I've been paying attention. I've seen the beauty, the love, the cruelty, and the horror. I've been absorbing it to the point of explosion, pressure too great to take. I feel it every day, every second. There's no hiding. Nowhere is there hiding. I've had enough. I've seen enough. It just repeats. No more do I seek, but it still seeks me. It is now the quiet and peaceful that draws me in, only to find there is no peace. Not in a world of chaos. And when I stop taking in the madness, I see them. The quiet of mind is where I see them. Endless wounds from a life at war. So many. So many. It's still painful. So many. Still. Too painful to bear. So many bleeding. And so I write, draining out my life for the world to see, in tears and screams, mixed with fleeting moments of joy and elation, hope once lost and forgotten. Sometimes it's hard to tell the difference as pain and pleasure pulsate back and forth with each heartbeat, each memory mixed and twisted until reality itself is questioned. The bane of humanity lies within the curse of thought, and I continue to torture myself with contemplation and reflection. I speak, I write, and I present it to the world, naked and exposed, prostrate and helpless, begging for the answer to it all. I just need to know why. End poem. Well, That was a deeply introspective poem on, you know, existing in life and, you know, the insanity that goes on within that existence. And it was a very hard-hitting, well-driven poem, you know, speaking to the madness that we share each day in our lives and, you know, the struggle to keep going without breaking. Just a fantastic poem, Daniel. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, I have to agree. This is an absolutely a wonderful poem. You know, Daniel, when he writes, he has a very reflective quality, a very, like, introspective studying of oneself. I really like this all the way through, but especially it is now the quiet and peaceful that draws me in, only to find there is no peace, not in the world of chaos. And when I stop talking in the madness, I see then the quiet of mind is where I see them endless wounds from a life at war. You know, to me, there's just this whole idea of not wanting to face the pain of past injuries, of past battles. And, you know, and I continue to torture myself with the contemplation, reflection. I speak, I write, and present to the world naked and exposed, fraught state and helpless. You know, there's something so very vulnerable about writing out your feelings, especially when it comes to wounds that you've been dealt. So powerful write and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. And Louie, what did you think?
I thought you did a fantastic job in reading this. You know, I really enjoy this poem. I went to go see what he wrote it for, and he wrote it for vulnerability, and he got a gold medal on this. So I want to congratulate Daniel Descheneaux on his poem Insanity for his gold medal. You know, the thing with this is that, you know, it just reminds me how when we see people, you know, and this is the thing that, you know, sometimes I think we forget so much about our family, our friends and neighbors. You know, some family and friends and neighbors have gone through and have seen horrific things and have experienced horrific things. You know, you can see the beauty and the love in the world, but we can also see, you know, just like right now what's going on in Ukraine with all those babies and pregnant women and grandfathers and grandmothers and children trying to escape, you know, to actually see that cruelty and horror. He says that I've been absorbing it to the point of explosion, pressure too great to take. I feel it every day. You know, the flashbacks that they have, you know, especially the military soldiers and the medical people that work with these soldiers, you know, the things that they've seen and experienced. And, you know, no matter where you go, and you never know when these memories are going to be triggered. You know, he says right here, he says, the endless wounds from life at war, so many, so many. It's still painful, so many. Still too painful to bear, so many still bleeding. I can't imagine seeing a killing field with this type of imagery, and, you know, you're there to help. You know, he says that, how do you not hear those, them crying? How do you not hear them not screaming? You know, so, you know, even though you may have a happy thought at that time, be at a birthday party, having a flashback that just comes back and forth, that is so hard to deal with. And writing is a way to express oneself, you know, a release, not that it erases the things that we've gone through. But he says, I speak, I write, and present it to the world, naked and exposed, prostrate and helpless. When you just, you know, you just fall to your knees with the weight of everything that you've seen in your life, you know, and then to sit there and to say, I need to know why, you know, why this happened. Unfortunately, it happened.
Yeah, I agree. Great comment. Thank you, Liu. Okay, so I'm going to repost Titus's poem, and he has a SoundCloud.
Okay.
There we go. And Titus, here we are.
The eighth most wonderful sight. Canyons collide to half long distance love. Now braided with mountains, a rainbow above, making ours the eighth most wonderful sight. To exceed the Taj Mahal for her beauty might be unfounded, while the Shah Jahan does rely on whose envy isn't diamonds, but the sky. The rivers serve as mirrors for the amusement of lovemaking. Taking every breath, the ascent, the lake bestows the comfort of an idyllic land. Onyx and ivory white, her purity is as grand a moonlight I have seen upon that horizon. Pointing at the edges of what might we upon sit, like Greek gods she matches any wonder, why the path to your heart may put asunder. Constellations are put to good cause, for hours our stars have been plucked. The small hours it would mean feather light, for beauty sleep. Under starlight a throw is hoisted, don't peek. Rumour I take it north of where I first wept. In Masuri, an angel, the secret I have kept.
Beautiful read, and a fantastic poem. You know, it has a classical nature to it that really speaks to the beauty of what he sees. And, you know, this is obviously a word bank due to all the highlighted words, but, you know, he just turned it into this fantastic, mesmerizing, enchanting, endearing poem of beauty and reverence. So just a wonderful write and an excellent read as well. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, this is a beautifully done poem, wonderful use of the word bank. I don't take on the challenge of doing word bank poems too often, just because I oftentimes feel like I can't quite get the pieces of the puzzle to fit. And I think Titus did a wonderful job of that. There's nothing that seems forced. I like the use of imagery in this. A moonlight I have seen upon the horizon, pointing at the edges of what might we upon sit like Greek gods. She matches any wonder why the path to your heart may put asunder. And I like that this doesn't seem to be just about admiring the beauty of the wonders of the world, but, you know, admiring the beauty of a love, you know, of a love that's closed between those distance of the distance of canyons. Just amazing use of imagery, a beautiful flow to the phrasing, mm-hmm. and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Beautiful comment. And Louie, what are your thoughts?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I thought this was, I agree with Pam. I thought this was beautifully penned. You know, he has some special notations here. Where he says, in the peace below speaks of the earth moving, the river serene as merosas for the amusement of lovemaking, taking every breath the scent. Musori below, where my wife lived, another thing, she is priceless to the worth of the Taj Mahal, now the Shah Jahan and his wife Mumsut's tomb. You know, and it says that, it says, you know, for me, just it's amazing how he could think of this for a word bank. I agree with everybody's comments on that. But what I love was he beautified this photograph just as much as he loved his wife. I can imagine her beauty, making love to her, you know, that priceless, that jewel that he has. He built this for her, and it is, I imagine, as much as he was breathless from his wife, he built something that was breathlessly beautiful for his wife. You know, there's just so many things here. I love the rivers serve as mirrors for amusement of lovemaking, taking every breath, the ascent. You know, it's just, this is just beautiful. He talks about the moonlight and the constellations. I can't imagine. I've never been there, but makes me want to go for a trip. This is beautiful.
Yeah. Wonderful comment, Lee. Thank you. Okay, I've got the next poem up. It's called Prepared to Die by Diane D. Into every weaving wrinkle of his fossilized, time-chipped face are the adversities of his journey, many a fork in the road he has taken. His face carries the noises of life, streaming like a skipping record that keeps playing the same note painfully until he lifts that needle. He has earned the respect of the setting suns and the rising moons for a lifetime of changing twilights. Death is undoubtedly well deserved. The whips and scorns of age show the witherings and tarnishings of a man who has lived fully and is exhaustingly well prepared to die. End poem. Wow, that was a powerful poem on the subject of the end of somebody's life, and the strength and the fortitude that that man's facing it with is astounding. Just a beautiful write throughout. What did you think, Pam?
I think this is amazing. There's a strength and a beauty in aging, you know, and I like how this shows someone who, you know, faces the end of their life, and just amazing imagery throughout. His face carries the noise of life streaming like a skipping record that keeps playing the same note painfully until he lifts that needle. He has earned the respect of setting suns and the rising moons for a lifetime of changing twilights. Death is undoubtedly well deserved. You know, just the idea of someone who has put in their time here on earth and are waiting for their due reward that has been well earned, beautifully written and very well done.
Absolutely. Thank you, Pam. And do you, what are your thoughts?
I want to congratulate Diane on her gold medal. This was very well deserved. The picture that she chose, you know, so many of us have had friends and family members where we see that they're finally ready to die. They've every wrinkle that, you know, just, you know, for me, wrinkles are a sign not only of age, but also of what you've gone through your life. You know, I love laugh lines. I think laugh lines are one of the most beautiful things on any face, no matter how old you are, you know, to go through that journey, you know, keeping all this memories, you know. Aging is painful. And, you know, there just comes a time, you know, from what I've been told, is that you just want to stop hurting. And, you know, you've done your best. I love this right here. He has earned the respect of the setting suns and the rising moons for a lifetime of changing twilights. Death is undoubtedly well-deserved, you know, when it's time for you to move on to be with your other family members. And I thought she penned this beautifully.
Great comment. Thank you, Lydia. Okay, so we've got a poem by Poetic Picasso and
yeah.
It has a sound club.
Yeah, he said this. No, this one doesn't have a sound club, does it? Yes, it does. Okay, one of them didn't, so go
okay.
ahead. Keeping an
Thank
eye
you,
on
Boston.
You, gray eyes.
Mi amor. I enter your room surreptitiously from the balcony. Behind the red velvet curtains moving like a serpent from the gust of the nocturnal winds. to find you, waiting for me all alone there, with an insatiable thirst, yearning for the taste of my kiss. I stand before you, Silverita, with a red rose in my hand, a swashbuckling hero of a local legend, with the seduction of my dark mask, my penetrating eyes, masculine voice, rugged sex appeal, whispering sensual words in the language of Cervantes. Words exuding my Latin virility and honor, lit by the blaze of a fire of our intense sexual attraction. And I begin to unveil your lustful desires, slowly and intrepidly, by removing your lace gown, revealing your white bodice and your luscious figure. My soul slices your garments, reaching the contours of your sculptured thigh, teasing you as I kiss your crimson lips, after slicing off another strap of satin till your bodice is removed, and you are naked within the sultry temptation. Then you grab quickly my heart to cover your aroused bosom, where I come closer to cup your head warmly of all its embrace in a hot and steamy kiss, with a roaring passion full of a gluttonous feeling, and you let loose a very sumptuous, juicy moan. Our wet lips untie themselves from the magnetic sensuality, and I give you a final, sexy smirk to tease you even more, before I dart out the window to my saddled rider into the Spanish night of lovers, as your body shivers and hungers for my manly flesh and pointed sword. Soy tu amante, y tu pasión, soy el zorro, the masked man of seduction, mi amor. Ole, ole. In the poem,
well, that was an epic telling of the legendary Zorro and, you know, his conquests and his adventures. I thought it was just enchanting and endearing. It was, you know, almost voyeuristic in its presentation, and it was a wonderful poem, wonderful read as well. What did you think, Ken?
Well, I say muy caliente. And...
I agree. Ay.
Right? But no, honestly, I don't think I paid enough attention to Zorro because I didn't realize he was this sexy. I just remember the sword
he
fighting.
Is. You
he
haven't
is,
seen
okay.
Banderas and Zorro?
No, I don't. It's been so long, I didn't get the impression on me. I'll have to check it out. But as far as the writing goes, yes, wonderful sensuality. I like how he presents us with, well, first of all, the choice of background music is wonderful. This had a very dramatic flair to it, which I think, you know, added to the presentation. Let's see, words excluding my Latin virality and aura lit by the blaze of the fire of our intense sexual attraction, I begin to unveil your lustful desires. I like how there's a back and forth to this, and you're definitely right, Gray. There is a real sense of voyeurism. Like you feel like you're peeking in on a very personal moment of two people who are just strongly attracted to each other. So very well done.
Fantastic comment, Pam. Thank you. And Lou, what are your thoughts?
This was like watching the Zorro movie, you know, how he climbs up the roses and he goes into this woman's room. And of course, you know, she's there waiting for him. And, you know, there's that always that masked man with the leading lady, that electricity of sensuality between them, Batman and Catwoman, you know, just the these masked heroes that are so well built and very sexy. But my favorite stanza where he says, then you grab quickly my hat to cover your aroused bosom. You know, you can just literally see him, her pulling off her, you know, his hat. You know, like you can't miss those big bosoms in these movies. He says, but I come closer to cup your head. I really like this. I come closer, the soft sensuality of Zorro, but I come closer to cup your head warmly as our lips embrace in a hot and steamy kiss. And then I really love this. With a roaring passion full of gluttonous zeal, and you let loose a very sumptuous, juicy moan. Now, you know that's a damn good kiss from La Latin Zorro. And that was some excellent music, and, you know, he took us on this journey.
Absolutely. Thank you, Leah. Okay, Pam, I have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
She says she'll be right back.
Oh, okay.
I think.
Would you mind reading it, Lee?
Yeah, no, I don't mind. Okay. By Jack?
Yeah.
Buttload of Bad by Jack Tomkovich. Nothing good. And a buttload of bad should be the Republicans' party mission statement. Plus, we put kids in cages for ages and ages. Plus, we worship preborn children. Once they're born, they're on their own. Plus, lie, cheat, still fornicate, and rip down democracy. Board by board and brick by brick, break the windows and steal the copper. But pretend we're the patriotic ones. End poem.
Well, that was a powerful statement on the current state of politics. It was a fascinating write. You know, he should be a Republican. It should be a Republican Party mission statement, nothing good and a buttload of bad. And then, you know, we put kids in cages for ages and ages, plus we worship preborn children. Once they're born, they're on their own. Fascinating poem on the current state of politics. What did you think, Lee?
Well, you know, Jack just tends to be like it is. I don't know. That's just, he tells you like it is. I really like this poem because, you know, there is so much going on in this world, you know, people from different parties pretending to be something that they're not. You know, you've got these children here on the border in cages. You know, here it is. I heard one of the Republicans said that even if a child is raped and gets pregnant, they want them to carry the baby full term. You know, the thing is that we can't even feed the children that we have here on Earth. Even in the United States, children are starving. You know, and then he starts talking about that democracy is something that he sees is slowly being torn down board by board, brick by brick. He's, you know, trying to keep the United States from becoming an autocratic, you know, society, which if that's how you want to live, fine, you know, go move there. you know, but, you know, there's it says here it is, you're pretending to be patriotic. And he says, but, you know, really look at your actions and
actually, yeah,
bear the
absolutely.
Truth.
That's right. I sure do. Okay, and Pam, are you with us? So I have the next poem up. It's called Dreamt of Sunflowers by C.L. Howard. I dreamt of sunflowers. I dreamt of sunflowers and the morning sun, their single eye enthralled on that golden orb of lofty height, strolling through heaven's lawn. But as it left the midnight's bed, necks in sorrow bent their head until the morn returned once more, and again they kissed the dawn. If I could be your summer sun and you my petaled bride, would I love you above all else beyond the blue sky, more than the birds that fly therein, or the bees that buzz about when the darkness falls, as we know it must, would you weep until I sprout? Or if you wish, then I will be the blossom to your light, and wait for you with a single eye throughout the darkest night. Then when you rise to look below, it is I whom you will see. My eye will not have wavered, or we shall ever be. I, your son, and you, my bower, or the other way around, regardless of which one we are, I dreamt of sun and flower and poem. Well, beautiful poem on the subject of a sunflower and its relationship to the summer sun, where it nods its head at night, you know, waiting for the kiss the dawn in the morning. Just an astounding poem. Absolutely beautiful. What did you think, Leah?
I think that C.L. Howard wrote a beautiful poem. I love how he was inspired by this photograph of, you know, sunflowers in the morning sun. And, you know, he just describes that. And then he goes into his second stanza where she says that I would be, you know, the woman in the sunflowers said that I would be the petal bride. Says, I, you love above all else beyond the bluest sky, more than the birds that fly therein. So it just talks about how deep his love is, and that, you know, that he would, in the third stanza, said that he would wait, that that I will be the blossom to your light and wait with you with a single eye. That, you know, that person that looks at you through time, and no matter what's going on and how we age, they are still that sun, that heat of the sun and the beauty of the flower of the relationship. I thought this was very beautiful.
Absolutely. Thank you, Liu. That was a great comment. Okay, so I have a poem here by Diane D., and I will post this to the board and then play the SoundCloud for this.
Okay,
there's that. Okay, here we go.
Forever by Diane D. In my forever, you are tomorrow. And in my infinity, you are today. I live in my thoughts to see you. There I know you'll not go away. More beautiful than the flowers are the petals that are your eyes. When times are sharp with worry, you are the rainbow in my skies. Standing in my midnight sunlight, wearing red nectars on your lips. If love for you were sweet liquid, the wide world could drink and sip. If roses were in bloom all seasons, I would bring you 12 a minute. And if I could paint the sky in love, then that sky would have no limit. Don't drink today from yesterday. There's no forever within the past. But if your tomorrow is my forever, then forever has been surpassed. End poem.
Well, that was a beautiful read. And I really like the music in the background. But, you know, this flower, this poem is stunning, you know, where the dedication and the reflection of love is so deep and pure. It just shines through every line. You know, it's a very heartfelt poem with beautiful imagery, and I thought it was fascinating. What a powerful poem. What did you think, Leah?
I thought I loved the background music to Diane's poem. I thought it went very well with her imagery. We are now getting into the quote from Alfred Tennyson in these poems. They were inspired by this quote. If I had a flower for every time I thought of you, I could walk through my garden forever, by Alfred Tennyson. What I loved about her poem was, you know, one of the things that, you know, everybody's attracted to certain things. And, you know, I really love the eyes, because it says, right here she says, more beautiful than the flowers are the petals that are your eyes. When times are sharp with worry, you are the rainbow in my skies. That, you know, no matter, we all need that person that we love, whether it's our mate or whether it's our kids or whether it's our family. That love that they give us when, you know, when anybody can say, I love you. But when you say, I love you, when you're going through hell, whether it be work, it doesn't matter, or health, and you have that support, and I've got to start. I'm going to mute myself because I'm coughing.
Okay. Pam, welcome back. What did you think of the poem?
Oh, this is absolutely beautiful. I do, you know, I do have to say, and I know I've said it before, but it's worth saying again, Lou has such a talent for finding quotes that inspire some of the most beautiful writes. And I love that you and Lou always oftentimes go with one quote, because it's so much fun and so interesting to see what people get out of it. And I really like standing in my midnight sunlight, wearing red nectars on your lips. If love for you were sweetest liquid, the wide world could count, could drink in sips. You know, the whole idea of how unlimitedless this love is through you know, the most beautiful times, the most difficult times. And I like that end stanza, don't drink today from yesterday. There's no forever within the past. The whole idea of moving on forward together. That is such a beautiful statement and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. Okay, I've got the next poem here, and this is by Sharp, S. Sharp, and it's called The Flowers of Deception. And I'll post this to the group here. Oh, it is. Okay. So he has a SoundCloud for that. Okay, here we go.
The flower's deception. Blossoms pop out of your sunshine, marbled beauty and grace astride the valley of the charge of the light brigade. In your absence, I am Samson, conqueror of all before me. I lay flowers upon the graves of the jealous. In your arms, I inhale the aroma of the angel's trumpet. Toxic nightshades pull down over my strength and light. Yet take the blade to me for the first time. If only I had a flower for each time I thought of you, Delilah, I could walk through your garden forever.
Wow, that was a beautiful read. And, you know, I really liked his use of the historical, I am Samson, conqueror of all before me. I lay flowers upon the graves of the jealous. And then, you know, the next stanza is just as hard-hitting. In your arms, I inhale the aroma of angel's trumpet. Toxic nightshades pull down over my strength and light. You take the blade to me for the first time. It's just a haunting, right? What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, haunting is a perfect word to describe this. I do like that he went into the story of, like, extended on the story of Samson and Delilah, but also used it as a metaphor for any relationship where you are betrayed and your trust is betrayed. And the to me, I like that he took this differently. He didn't take it in a romantic way. He took it in a way of dealing with deception, dealing with betrayal. And I like that he mentioned some of these poisonous plants, like the angel's trumpet, the toxic nightshade, and the idea of how plants aren't just used to express love, but they can be used to express other emotions as well. So beautifully written and very well done.
That was a wonderful comment. Thank you, Pam. And Louie, what are your thoughts?
I love the strength of this poem. I love how he starts it up, the flower's deception. And he's talking about Delilah here. He's, because she was supposedly beautiful, and she was used to deceive, like Pam was talking about, to deceive Samson. And it says, blossoms pop out of your sunshine, marble beauty and grace astride the valley, of the change of the light brigade, how beautiful she was, how seductive she was. And we knew at that time that the Jews were being enslaved and, being killed. So I don't know, for me, he was the savior of these people. And then it says, but in Delilah's arms, I imagine that part of his conscience was how he inhaled the angel's trumpet. But then Delilah gave him, like Pam was talking about, a lot of plants were used for poison and to put people to sleep. And then it says that's when he wasn't aware that she took the knife to, cut his hair. And he says, if only I had like Pam was talking about, that deception, when you love somebody so much and they deceive you so badly.
Absolutely. Great comment.
You know.
Thank you, Pam. I mean, thank you, Louise. And I'd like to welcome Bobby to the show. Hello, Bobby.
Hi, Bobby. Hi. I made it. Got back on a few minutes ago.
Oh, that's great.
Hey, Bobby.
Appreciate you calling in.
Hi. Yeah. Sitting here in the dark eating cold food. It's exciting. It's like camping, only without the dirt.
Yeah. okay, I've got the next poem up, and they have a SoundCloud, so we'll grab that.
Gardens for Sorrow, Gardens for Pain by Stephen 76. In gray matter hallways where memories roam, each room a duplicate from every home. Through windows I see them when eyelids are closed, some so new and vivid, others now reposed. Dining room of youth is there with avocado rug. Wood paneling and chair railing, vlogs do pull and tug. Before boudoir, a small mud room through 12 light wooden door, with Flemish glass distorting view, must open to see more. Past patio and screened-in walls and picnic table cues, lies rooted soil of those extolled with petaled flower hues, dancing there within echo's breeze so vibrant and serene. Honeybees do tend to them to keep them clear and sheen. But past that plot there is a place where dead flowers only grow, for those who lay 2 yards deep and only thorns are sown. The pain that's felt when they're recalled bring balms of bittersweet, as tidal waves do pour from eyes and water garden peat. End poem.
Wow, that was a beautiful, right? And an excellent read as well. I thought it was fantastic. He says in his author's notes, the title was inspired by the song at the end of Rocky Horror Picture Show called I'm Going Home, in which there are lyric cards for sorrow, cards for pain. Just a beautiful poem. You know, his reciting was wonderful and spot on. But, you know, this journey through the mind is a powerful thing. And, you know, the pain that is felt when they're recalled brings barms of bittersweet as tidal waves deep pour from eyes and water, garden peat. Excellent, right? Excellent read as well. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, this had wonderful imagery and metaphors. A beautiful write, nice, gentle use of alliteration, past patio and screened in walls and picnic table cues, live rooted soils of those extolled with petaled flowered hues. There's such a kind of a sense of reverence within those lines there. The pain that's felt when they're recalled being barms of bittersweet as tidal waves do pour from eyes and water, garden, peat. You know, those memories, as you were mentioning, that just kind of that pull at you, that you can't, it's difficult to let go of them, and they just, you know, bring you to tears. So beautifully written and very well done.
Wonderful comment, Pam. Thank you. And Louie, what are your thoughts?
I thought this was beautifully penned by Stephen. You know, to me, it was very nostalgic. Gardens for sorrow, gardens for pain. You know, when you go home and those memories start to roam, and you know, here it is that, you know, he, that second stanza, he goes into his home and he starts talking about the things that he remembers. You know, it's like time doesn't change. Just like when I go to my mom's house, you know, I know where everything's at, where she's always kept it, what she has there. It's something, it's part of our life, that stability we get from being in our parents' home. And then, you know, he says, as he's walking through the house, you know, he says that he opens the Flemish glass and he opens the screened walls, and, you know, he sees everything outside. And, you know, he sees the bees humming, and I can just see them busily just going to flower. But when he looks out further, there's the memories of loved ones that are buried there. And, you know, and all the recollections and all the memories that you get back that just weigh you down. Like he says here, the pain that's felt when they're recalled bring barns of bittersweet, a tidal waves do pour from eyes and water garden peat. You know, for me, this is, you know, like sometimes when I see my mom, you know, things that have happened in her life and her missing her mother and everything, she waters their garden with her tears also. This was very moving, emotional. It was emotionally moving. I really loved this poem.
Great comment, Lou. Thank you. And Bobby, what did you think?
I agree with Lou that it does ring of nostalgia. As I was listening to it and rereading it, it reminds me of the I believe it's a novel by Thomas Wolfe entitled "You Can't Go Home Again," and that's what it feels like. He's talking about the past and how the surroundings our passage, but it feels like it infers how nostalgia causes us to view the past differently than it really was, unrealistically, and how humans tend to remember people and places in very static terms. I had that occasion. I was going through a Palm Springs airport, and I heard a voice that was very familiar to me when I was going through security, and I turned around, and if I had not heard the man's voice first, I would not have recognized him, because in my mind he hadn't aged. It was Red Skelton. He hadn't aged, but when I looked at him, he was an old man. It hadn't been for age. And we do think of people that way, in static terms, and I think that's he's viewing his past as never changing, but explaining that it does change.
Yeah, absolutely. Wonderful comment, Bobby. Okay, Bobby, would you mind reading the next one, please? It's by Incubus.
Absolutely not. Let me see if I can find my way over there. Okay. Okay. Oh, the Fawn?
Yes.
Is that the one I'm reading? Okay. Very good. The Fawn by Incubus 2. Clever name. Fawning over you. Quote, if I had a flower for every time I thought of you, I could walk through my garden forever. Your lips, the very gentleness of morning, the sweetness of dewdrops glistening upon the velvet edge of petals, kissed by entreating sunlight. Your cheeks, the first blush of red roses, tenderly caressed by soft breeze that strokes pollen-like sleep from your eyes as they slowly open. Your scent, the fragrance of remembrance, bringing happiness of hours together wasted as I lay simply surveying the natural beauty of the one I love. End poem.
Beautiful read, Bobby. And that's a touching poem, you know. It's so delicate and gentle. It, you know, it captures the beauty of the one he loves in the sunlight, you know, just wonderfully. I thought it was a fantastic poem. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, I have to agree. This is a fantastic poem about the beauty of someone you love. And I like that he uses nature as metaphors. Your cheeks, the first blush of red roses, tenderly caressed by soft breeze. And another thing I really like is that he brought the fragrance in. Your scent, the fragrance of remembrance, bringing happiness of hours together. I like that, you know, he reminds us of how important scent is to bringing forth memories. Beautifully written and very well done.
A great comment, Pam. Thank you. Okay. Lou, what did you think?
I thought Bobby did a beautiful job in reading this poem by Incubus. I liked his title, The Fauna Fawning Over You. And it just, while I was listening to Bobby read this, I could literally see, like in an old movie, it says, you know, I can see this man looking at this woman's lips, you know, and then gently kissing them. And then in the second stanza, I could see his fingers touching her cheeks. And, you know, and it says that, you know, and then it says that he was caressing her face like a soft breeze as her eyes slowly opened from that sleepy, like, pollen state. And then, you know, like Pam brought out, you know, how fragrance just brings back so many different memories. And I really liked where, you know, he's, you know, people forget in life a lot of times that what makes them happy, they think are things and products and electronics and cars and jewelry and gold. I could go on and on and on. But right here, this is what we take with us. These are the memories you take with us, and these are, to me, the lace of gold of our different memories that we connect together. He says, bringing happiness of hours together wasted, you know, sitting there rocking, drinking coffee, planting plants, sitting in the car having a conversation and eating a donut. It's those simple things of love that we cherish. And he says, and I lay simply, which I could just see him just laying down next to her, surveying the natural beauty of the one I love. And, you know, and that's the foreverness from youth all the way to when we take our last breath and have our last kiss.
Absolutely. Beautiful comment, Louie. Thank you. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I agree. Again, Luyu made a beautiful observation. It is a very, very touching piece, very reverential. He's gathering his happiness from just being in the other person's presence. And sometimes like you said, people lose track of that because if they're with someone constantly, they become inured to how precious that was to them at one time. And he reminds me, your scent of the fragrance of remembrance, bringing happiness of hours together wasted as I lay simply surveying the natural beauty of the one I love. That's very, very touching and very true.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, I have a next poem. This is by Garden Delight, since she has a poem. I mean, she has a sound poem. So we'll play that.
Is this love? As often as Sol rises, I think of you. When it coaxes violets into unveiling their faces, revealing a glimpse of violet blue eyes. Possibly the setting sun reminds me of you. Every time we part, my heartstrings ache to pull you back. Yet what harbors within me, I wouldn't call love. Just me gathering flowers left gaping behind you. Who can deny joy inhaling the heady sauce of a gardenia's fragrance, or finely turned petals of dewish English tea roses? Stargazer lilies with tonight's stars sprinkled across their blushing cheeks. I merely collect what you leave strewn in your path. This is only me being practical, though my garden has become quite large. The blossoms are in a stupor over your smiling mien. Flummoxed should you touch them at all. I am a woman grown who sleeps alone, not a bashful bloom to so easily swoon. The end.
Well, she did a fantastic read on that. You could feel the emotion, and she went through her read. And, you know, it's a very powerful poem on the subject of letting somebody somewhat and just gathering the flowers that they leave behind. And, you know, but she's not a bashful bloom so easily swoon. She's a woman, and, you know, love and respect that. So just a beautiful, right? What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, I really enjoyed this one. First of all, it was great to hear Garden Delight's voice. She has a beautiful reading voice. I thought this is brilliant imagery and metaphors. And I do like how it is about a strong woman, but I think there's also kind of a bit of like humor in the whole idea to me of being completely in denial of being in love because it happens to anyone else but not to me. Like the idea of I'm just being practical, picking up after you, you know, and just a wonderful write and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you. Okay, Louie, what did you think?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
What I really loved about Garden Delights, and I agree with Pam, she is a beautiful reader of poetry. You know, she was asking, is this love? You know, this made me smile a lot because, you know, my family works and tills the soil and gardens with flowers everywhere and trees. And this reminded me so much of, you know, my mother and my aunt, you know, and, you know, she said, you know, you're working in the garden. And, of course, you know, you look at the color of something and it reminds you of somebody's blue eyes that you're in love with. And, you know, she can be working in the garden. She says, you know, she loves being around him because she says, every time we part, my heartstrings ache to pull back to you. But, you know, this also for me was, it was funny in some ways because of the independence that's written here. You know, she's saying it's not that I don't love you, but, you know, my mom and my aunt loved their garden too, and it's not that they didn't love us and stuff like this, but when you've got to maintain that garden, And it says that, you know, and then, you know, she goes, and my garden's still getting even bigger. And, you know, and then I like this. The blossoms are super over your smiling yen flummox should you touch them at all. Some flowers don't like to be touched, their petals. And, you know, so, you know, she says, I do love you, and I don't mind sleeping alone. He says, she's not a bashful bloom to be so easily swooned. So she knows her priorities. She loves her garden. She loves him.
Oh, absolutely. Great comment, Pam. I mean, Lou, thank you. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I agree with both Pam and Lou. Pam especially, I think, has a great observation on this. It's like she's she talks about her garden growing and she's gathering flowers left gaping behind him. It reminds me of how often when we live with someone else, we find ourselves picking up after them. And that's what it brought to my mind is, you know, picking up, put your shoes away, or, you know, picking up the socks or the coat or the towel or whatever's been left behind and abandoned, or, you know, remembering to put the milk away. The things that we do for the people that we live with. And but she's a strong person. I'm a woman grown who sleeps alone, not a bashful bloom. But I don't get a sense of contentment in those statements, just a statement of fact.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment, Bobby. Thank you. Okay, Pam, I have the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
All right. This is Adam's Dream by Death Reckon, and it goes like this. Memories of you in the Garden of Eden, we thought we would, we walk there forever and forever in innocence. I cannot bear to look at you now in the midst of struggle. Each haggard day eroding you more. All I can do is dream of the garden and you there as you were, beautiful, glorious, free, and calm.
Beautiful read, Pam. And, you know, this is a kind of a sad poem. You know, she loses her beauty, and he sees her as she was before, glorious, beautiful, and free. Yeah, just a fascinating little brevity here. What did you think, Lee?
Well, can you hear me?
Yes.
I thought Pam did an excellent job in reading Death Reckon's poem. You know, to me, this was very sad. You fall in love with somebody and, you know, you think you're going to be with them forever. And it says, and, you know, and he says in his relationship, he thought that they were going to have this paradise, this dream of living in this garden for Eden. And it says that whatever this person has done, whatever they've done in their struggle, whether it's, you know, whatever issue that they're dealing with, you know, he sees that it's eroding them more. You know, I don't know if they started taking drugs or they're in a bad relationship and they just refuse to get out and they're just eroding there. And he says he still dreams of that garden, and he dreams hoping of seeing this person before they were broken down. I think it's very sad to watch somebody fall apart before your eyes and you can't do anything because they don't want to listen.
Yeah. Well said. Thank you, Lydia. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
This one's a tough one for me. It's like the person is not forgiving the partner for growing older. I cannot bear to look at you now in the midst of struggle, each haggard day eroding you more. All I can do is dream of the garden that then you were there as you were. To me, this is an unrealistic This is a partner who's unrealistic and didn't realize it, that we all change. That's the only constant in life is change, and they can't accept the change if it's a negative one. Rather than criticize, I would think he would want to step in and try and help, but all he's doing is stepping away and feeling it feels like he's sorry for himself because of her change.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you, Bobby. And Liu, would you mind reading the next poem, please?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me refresh. By Blayton?
Yes.
Pickup lines. Blayton B. The thought of you gives me trillions butterflies as their tiny wings flap together. It causes static electricity coursing through my body that ignites a strike of lightning. I could run through thunderstorms for the rest of my days until eternity. Your scent is intoxicating as thousands of hugs of a weeping willow tree all bent over to be dragged into my welcoming arms. I could stand solid in gale force winds until the body reduces to sand. Your voice is so seducing, like a song sang nursing their baby to sleep after swimming in an ocean for 3 straight days and being rescued by a rubber boat swaddled in warm blankets and safely rocked back to sleep. You make me feel my quantum of solace on a distant nova somewhere where the sun sets all day and the word safe and secure is eclipsed by subtle hand gestures and in-depth stares where 2 souls chase each other running through a constellation of stars. End poem.
Beautiful read, Lee. And this is a touching poem. You know, in his author's notes, he says, I don't think there is enough words to describe the word love. All I know is if you ever get to experience it for the very first time, it feels right. It excites you to a point where you can think of that person and you'd be so happy. It's a bubbling feeling. You see, it's hard to describe. And then it goes on about your quote. But no, this is a beautiful poem on the subject of being deeply in love with somebody and the feelings that it gives you and the thoughts that you have. I could stand in solid in gale force winds until my body reduces to sand. You make me feel my quantum of solace on a distant nova somewhere where the sun sets all day and the word safe and secure is eclipsed by subtle hand gestures and in-depth stares where 2 souls chase each other running through the constellation of stars. Just a beautiful poem on the subject of love. And what did you think, Pam?
Yeah, I have to agree. This is beautiful. I like that the title kind of throws you off. Like, you know, the title, like, pickup line. You really expect there to be some, like, corny pickup lines in here, or at least I did. But, you know, there wasn't, which is just absolutely wonderful. I love how this whole write, to me, the general message is the power of love, how it gives you strength, how it truly supports you. I really like your scent is intoxicating, your voice is so seductive. You make me feel my quantum of solace on a distant nova somewhere where the sun sets all day and the words safe and secure is eclipsed by subtle hand gestures and in-depth stares. There's that communication between 2 people that doesn't need a lot of talking. It's gestures and looking in each other's eyes. Just a wonderful, heartfelt write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. That was a beautiful comment. And Louie, what are your thoughts?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I thought this was beautifully penned. You know, that the youth, you know, at least for me, that feeling when you're young, younger, like in your 18s and 20s when you fall in love, how that love feels for the first time. It just feels like you're walking on clouds. That feeling you get, even in high school, or even as an adult, where you get butterflies when you see that person you love. It just like sends electricity through your body. And I really love the imagery where he talked about that weeping willow tree, how beautiful the limbs hang down and the wind breezes. And he says that it was hugging this person. And, he says that he could stand solid in gale force winds until my body reduces to sand to hold and protect this person that he's in love with. So I'm going to stop there so somebody else, Bobby, can comment.
Great comment. Thank you.
Go ahead and comment
and
for
Bobby,
me. I don't mind.
Bobby, what do you think?
I just agree. I liked it also very much. This is, we had a piece on Saturday from Blayton B. that was, his writing is usually very, very severe, very serious, very visceral. His piece on Saturday was so gentle and touching. And this one's very reverential. This one's also a departure from him, but you can feel, even though it is a gentle piece, that the intensity of the emotion, how this person is his rock. This is his stability. He's moored to this person. I mean, he could go through anything that the life hands him as long as he has this person to go back to. And this is such a beautiful expression of love.
Absolutely, yes. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, I've got the next poem up, and it's by Chynaski, and he has a SoundCloud, so we'll play that.
Nerve endings turned into flip-flop and fragrance. I hear them ring as musical instruments, and the silence becomes flowers, dropping notes upon guitar strings, incurably playing fire. Daily petals dance from your mouth, tracing bodice, delicate ankles, soft brusque laugh, breaking moments. Frolic and fury, lulled loudly, chopping tides against silk shores, and last winter we melted aging seasons, death dark nights, racing randomly across jet black hair, conquering me. Brothers and sisters danced in pale forest, and we were children of night, hunting souls. She slept on the ashes and walked into ebony darkness. Twigs were planted, and it grew into a tree where our white dove sat. Howling voices wrote her script in coffins, billowing wind, blowing 1,102 pages across grassy fields. And as night arrives, her purple legend retired into spiritual tents, burning embers of a vision as we enter the town of my birth, walking upon endless meadows, gathering years of bouquets.
Well, that was a beautiful read. And, in his author's notes, he said, this is dedicated to you, my spiritual sister, gathering bouquets over the years. Yeah, beautiful dedication to you. You can feel the love and the respect in this metaphorical, right? She slept on ashes and walked in ebony darkness. Twigs were planted and it grew into a tree where our white dove sat. Howling voices wrote her script in coffins, billowing wind, blowing 103 pages across grassy fields. You can picture all this as he's written it, and it's just a beautiful rate. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, I have to agree. This is beautiful. A great read that he did. Wonderful imagery and metaphors. I really like how he talks about wrote about daily petals danced from your mouth, tracing bodice, delicate ankles. It's frolicking fury, lulled loudly, chopping tides against silk shores, and last winter we melted aging seasons. There's such a kind of a reverence to this. It's a beautiful idea of how throughout the years you can gather flowers, spiritual flowers, through acts of kindness, the words that we say and the energy that we pass along. So beautifully written and a wonderful dedication to Lou. Very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. And Lou, what did you think?
I think that Chinowski did such a beautiful job in writing about how over years we develop friendships and we develop relationships with the people on here. And this is what he's talking about. You know, the native spirit, the imagery of how brothers and sisters, I really love this right here. Brothers and sisters danced and held for us as we were children of the night hunting souls. And, you know, and this is, you know, we're always searching for each other. And even after death of the stars, we search for each other. And I just thought, you know, I really loved where he says, I didn't even tell him that one of my favorite colors was purple. So I thought that was fantastic. And as night arrives, her purple legion retired in a spiritual tent, burning embers, a vision as we entered the town of my birth, waking upon endless meadows, gathering years of bouquets. And that's, you know, the life that we're going to achieve, our other life when we are with our brothers and sisters and we walk back with them in our homelands. This was beautiful.
Well said. Thank you, Leah. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I really love this. I thought it was so beautifully written, and you can tell that it's inspired by a deep sense of respect and affection. And it's what strikes me about this is one thing that Lou said is we meet and interact with people through AP, and very often we never see them face to face. So these are all spiritual and intellectual unions that we have mm-hmm. with people, and to gather the metaphors that he's got in here are just so beautifully descriptive. He's painted a word picture not only of you, but of the relationship. And this is a really, really beautiful piece. I think I'm going to tuck this one away in my favorites.
Absolutely, yeah. Thank you.
Great comment.
Okay, we have the next poem here. If you wouldn't mind reading that, Lou, please.
Okay. Give me just a second. I have to refresh. By Daniel?
Yes.
Rose by Daniel Deschino. Such is a rose to cover the world in peace, even if it's from but a glance. What beauty to light the sunshine's rays, a guide for angels who brought my love. For each touch from her, rose petals soft as a snowflake on a child's hand, I feel each kiss, a nurturing springtime rain to strengthen my heart and caress my spirit. Forever I walk in the garden of bliss through an endless summer, a floral meadow in poem.
Beautiful read, Leah. Oh, that's a touching, heartfelt poem. You know, what beauty to light the sunshine's rays, a guide for angels who brought my love. For each touch from her, rose petal soft as a snowflake on a child's hands, I feel each kiss, a nurturing springtime rain to strengthen my heart and caress my spirit. Yeah, that was a wonderful write, Daniel. Excellent job. Beautifully read, Leah. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, this is a beautifully written brevity. I like that he focused on one flower, but with the title being Rose, and you know, I can't help but wonder if he knows somebody named Rose, and this is dedicated to them. I did really like that middle stanza. I thought it fits in there beautifully. But I also, you know, liked the ending, Forever I Walk in the Garden of Bliss and Endless Summer. The idea of how just the looking at flowers and the memory of looking at them can bring you to that kind of idea of an endless joy. So beautifully written, very well written.
Thank you, Pam. And Bobby, what did you think?
I thought it was an inspired interpretation of the prompt. What a beauty to light the sunshine's rays, a guide for angels. It is a very loving piece. There's a lot of affection and caring. And I walk in the garden of bliss through the summer floral meadow. That is so lovely that it just speaks of a deep an abiding affection for someone.
Good comment, Bobby. Thank you. And what are your thoughts?
I thought this was a beautiful poem. You know, what I liked about Daniel's poem was he says that this rose, he says that it was a guide from angels who brought my love. So I don't know if she was in a rose garden around roses holding a rose or her name is Rose. He says that when he touched her, her fingertips felt like soft petals. And, you know, I could just see the gentleness of this person. And then he says, I feel each kiss a nurturing springtime rain to strengthen my heart and caress my soul. And it's true, kisses are powerful, especially when they relate a message that we feel deep inside. It can be expressed through our lips. I thought this was beautiful.
Great comment, Lee. Thank you. Okay, so I've got the next poem up. This is by Eric Svensson, and he has a SoundCloud. So we'll play that. There we go.
Constant gardener consort, pleasant potpourri petal kaleidoscope, glows like nascent abalone shell narca, passion's thermal spiral galaxies, ticker tape of sticky hibiscus proboscis, iridescent cadence of iris petals, starry, starry nights float to dawn, ribald sunflower heads nodded appreciation, yellow halos turn to our midnight sun vigil. Sweet purple rain petals cartwheel down. Northern lights hieroglyph inscribed to hearts. Merry meander between hollyhocks. Feisty cockerel blooms ablaze. Bluebells always reminded you of Hathor, Egyptian goddess of love and beauty. Osiris adamant, I crowned you with barley and rye sprigs. Cobalt blue peony petals paneled resolve. Midsummer's night we threw caution to the wind, skipped like lambs through clover. Jolly jasmine tendrils tickled us pink on our sage bed below obliging spruce tree. I, ardent bee in search of pollen, drawn to your ethereal yellow acacia flower laughter, implosion of supine powder kegs between thorns. Gilly flower thrills and spills, augmented our potpourri petal kaleidoscope. Ambrosia of white lilac, jasmine, and gardenia petals. My litany of white dittany stems quietly quivered, goddess Lakshmi's forearms rake your drake closer. Four henna palms held forget-me-nots, sweet Elysium, fragrant scent spoke of serene spiritual energy, spellbound by Arcadian dreams, you danced Frida Kahlo, Dahlia bright. Dew fresh after morning shower in our enclosed garden bower, you said cherry blossoms on the slopes of Mount Fuji next year. Instead, here I stand beside an open grave, your casket festooned with white angelica blooms. End poem.
Wow, that was a beautiful read. And, you know, it's a heart-wrenching poem at the end where he says, instead here I stand beside an open grave where your casket is festooned with white angelica blooms. I mean, his flower description is powerful and palpable as well. You can see it all and feel it all as he reads through this abstract. It was just a beautiful write and a powerful read as well. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, I have to agree. Oh, my goodness. This imagery all the way through is stunning. And there's such a sense of just the power of love and, you know, just the wanting to be in somebody's company. And then that, you know, instead and the words to follow, it just hits so very hard in the idea that all the plans they had together and that didn't happen. It's just beautiful and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And Louie, what are your thoughts?
I thought this was beautiful. I love hearing Eric read. It just brings to life the emotions, you know, of his poetry. You know, I liked how, you know, he starts talking about the beauty that he sees in life and the beauty in flowers. And then he starts talking about his life with these flowers that the sunflower heads not in appreciation. The yellow halos turned our midnight sun vigil. You know, now they're together. And then, you know, I also found myself feeling happiness where, you know, I started seeing their personality, the relationship in here. He says, sweet purple rain, cartwheel down. Then he says, bluebells always reminded you of Hathor, Egyptian goddess of love and beauty. Osiris, adamant, I crowned you with barley and rice bricks. You know, you can literally visually see this. And then he talks about you know, once he's crowned her, that the midsummer's night, we threw caution to the wind like lovers do, skipped like lambs through clover, jolly jasmine trendles tickled us pink. You know, and, you know, the relationship of the sage, the spiritual tree, the spruce, that guided their relationship. But I'm going to stop there because there's a whole lot more left, and I want Bobby to comment.
Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Superb storytelling, a very captivating, great read. The visual imagery is absolutely stunning. It's vibrant. He's touched all the senses on this, is woven quite the story, and then the devastating ending. It is just like you've been dashed in the face with cold water. It's just here's all this happiness, and here's where it's come to, and it's just very beautiful, but very sad. But unfortunately, it's where we all end. And so it doesn't, you don't know if it's premature or if it's after a long relationship, but you know that it doesn't matter how long it's been. It's too soon.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, Bobby, you're up next, please.
I am. Okay. Let's see. Well, I've lost myself here. Oh, there I am. Oops, here we go. All righty. Oh, now I got to refresh. Oh, yeah. My computer is, I deprived it of power this evening, and it hasn't recovered quite. We had a storm blow through here. It just knocked everything for a loop. Okay, here I am. Here I am. Okay. Tangled and recherché blue. The woman goes to her gate dressed in snow-white lace and cerulean velvet. Looking across the shore to the sea, she finds the weather fine. She hears the steeple chimes ringing through the hills all the way from town. She watches the seagulls fly, silver on the ocean, stitching through the surf, the edges of the sky. She wanders down the hill through the swaying wild lupine, gathering flowers for her table, wandering down the hills through the long grass to the sea. Against the sunset, the steeple bells, ringing her sadness as she comes away alone. In her reverie, she dreams of a prince who rides along the hills and the sea, scattering the sand and the foam into shards of fantasy, riding up the hills from the beach in the long summer grass, holding the sun in his hands, his eyes reflecting love like a looking glass. Each eventide, she stands by the gate with her long hair blowing, and the fading colors of the day remind her of her solitude. She bargains with her loneliness to make sure she is living. The night comes, and with it, isolation, feeling only the tapestry of her life holds her in and keeps her whole so she survives imprisoned in her bones. Behind the crystalline blue windows of her eyes, she feels the colors and the bells and the wind and the dreams, day and night and day again, and her daydreams come and go away forever. All the while, the shining summer sun dances in the glass smooth ocean mirror while she searched the waves for love and her desperate visions for a sign. The knot of tears around her heart is crystallizing into her hope's design. And in the night, the harsh wind is rolling down the hills through the long grass to the sea. And in the dark, the hard steeple bells are ringing her despair as she leaves her gate alone. End poem.
Wow, that was deeply melancholic and a fascinating insight into this woman's lonely existence, you know, dreaming of the knight who rides in and, you know, holds the sun in his hands, reflecting a love for her. Just a beautiful poem, Bobby, throughout, and a fantastic read as well. I loved it. I loved the whole thing.
Thank you.
Great job. So what did you think, Pam?
Yeah, this is absolutely beautiful. Wonderful imagery all the way through. I like how you use the color blue, the blue of the ocean, the blue of the sky to reflect the sadness and the loneliness within her. And I like how you show someone who dreams of love, and each evening time she stands by the gate with her long hair blowing and the fading colors of the day reminding her of her solitude. She bargains with her loneliness to make sure she is living. Those are powerful and emotive lines, and very well done.
Absolutely. Thank you. Lou, what did you think?
I thought that this was very well written. You could feel the loneliness and the ache of this woman throughout the poem. It was like, again, watching an old black and white movie, you know, like a woman up on the cliffs of, you know, Ireland, waiting for the ship to come in for her love to come back. You know, these voyages, you know, I mean, times they still haven't changed. You know, women still say goodbye to their husbands in the military or, you know, the medical field. You have to say goodbye, or Red Cross or whatever it is that you're in. And you wait for your loved one to come home. And this is what it reminded me of. It reminded me of somebody who's going on with their life. Just, you know, she hears the same noises, the, you know, the steeple chimes. She hears the seagulls flying. And it says that, you know, she wanders, you know, that she's wandering downhill. You know, it says, through the long grass to the sea against the sunset, the steeple bells ringing her sadness, she comes away alone. And this is what it reminded me of, the people who have had to say goodbye to their family and loved ones, and yet we still go and we start to see when we hear a certain noise or maybe a certain car, and at that time, you know, the boats and stuff like that waiting for them to come in. This was beautifully penned, Bobby. It deeply moved me and made me feel sad for this woman.
Thank you very much.
Would you like to say anything about your poem, Bobby?
I wrote it for Faziana's show on Saturday. I had sent the artist. In my searching for artists, I found this one that it didn't suit my show, but I thought she might like it. So she liked it so well, she popped up with a contest on it, and I didn't enter the contest, but I did contribute this to her show on Saturday, and it was a combination of an inspiration by the artist Heather Evans Smith, and the blues. She had done a series in blue after her father died, and it was a combination of the artwork and of a song by Judy Collins called Albatross.
Oh, okay, great, beautiful, excellent, right, excellent.
Thank
read,
you.
Bobby. Pam, would you like to say anything about upcoming shows?
Yeah, 30 minutes from now we have After Midnight, and I'll be doing some carryovers and some Trent Reznor quote inspired writes. And as far as contests, I've got of course tomorrow Tuesday is Twisted Tuesdays, and we're going to do poetry inspired by Tagore. And I've got, let's see, what have I got for contests? I've got Ride the Lightning, Rhythm and Rhyme, Metallica, Into the Darkness, Seriality, The Devil Made Me Do It, After Midnight, The San Francisco Renaissance, and The Art of Seduction, A Spring Bouquet. So something for everyone's taste, from spring flowers to devils.
Yeah.
And everything in between.
Quite the combination.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's awesome, Pat. And Bobby, would you like to say anything about any upcoming shows?
Well, we had one Saturday. I it went very well. We had some outstanding poetry. I've got two contests cooking right now. One with Fernando Botero. Very unusual artwork. The figures are very, very rotund, but very interesting, the way he sees people. The other one are these surreal landscapes by, are you ready for this? Gediminas Pratavigos, who's Lithuanian. And thank God I speak Lithuanian. really absolutely fascinating, gravity-defying landscapes and water figures. Just beautiful. And the first figure in the contest is an image. It was a recent work by the artist regarding the war in Ukraine, since he is from Vilnius, Lithuania. So it's an interesting piece. That I put right at the top. So a couple of interesting and upcoming, I'll give you a little peek of the future. The next artist I'm going to feature is Frida Kahlo.
Okay, great. Well, awesome. Okay, well, much love, everybody. Have a great night, and thank you for calling in to share your heart.
Yeah, have a good night, everybody. Love you guys. Thank you, Pam. Thank you, Bobby. Thank you, Gray Eyes.
Okay, good night, everybody.
Love you guys. Besitos.